Good afternoon. Please open your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. 请打开圣经马太福音第六章。Matthew, chapter 6, 10 is on page 1116. Last week, we studied the first petition in the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be your name. Renew our attitude to our Lord. Renew to whom we should pray to. You pray to your Heavenly Father. Today, we will come to the second petition. May your kingdom come. May your kingdom come.
Oh, I forgot my Bible. Sorry.
Please open your Bible to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Here is the word of God. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give thanks for your word because you teach us how to worship you, how to pray to you. You give us the confidence to pray to our Heavenly Father. We give thanks for this opportunity. We could worship together as a body of Christ. Please be with us and give us a clear understanding of your word. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. When the Roman Empire was in its heyday, they would use force to make every new territory as much like Rome as possible. They would like to build Roman temples and religions, including worshiping Caesar himself. They also would institute Roman education, arts, and culture. Why was that? They did it so that if the Caesar ever came there, he would feel right at his own home. That is what the kingdom of God is. But it is not built in any earthly territory. It is built in your heart. Do you honor Jesus as your king, like the Romans do? Do you try your every effort to make your family to be like the family of God? Do you ever live for his glory, or do you live for your own end, for your own job, for your own pleasure, or even for your own kingdom? Our text today reminds you that you have departed the kingdom of darkness, and you are to put all your strength for obtaining the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. 我们今天讲到的重点是，你已经脱离了那黑暗的权势，你要在基督耶稣里竭尽全力拥抱神的国。 As we look into the text today, I want you to notice that first, you lived in the kingdom of darkness, which will be destroyed by God. You lived in the kingdom of darkness, which will be destroyed by God. 第一点，你曾活在那黑暗的权势中，这权势终将被神毁灭。 The state of nature is a kingdom of darkness.Where sin is said to reign, it is called to be in Romans 6, 12, the power of darkness. Humans all fall into the kingdom of darkness. You lived in the kingdom of darkness. You didn't seek the glory of God by yourself. As sinful human, by nature, you put yourself in the center. You say, let my name be honored. Let my will be done. Let my kingdom be built.You wanted to be your own king. Actually, you were enslaved by Satan. Satan's kingdom is a kingdom of slavery. He makes all his subjects slaves. In Augustine's great work, The City of God, he said there are two kingdoms. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of man. The kingdom of God is ruled by the Almighty God, and his people are his loyal subjects. They desire God himself and his glory. The kingdom of man was ruled by Satan. Its subjects are man and woman in rebelling against God. They love only themselves, not their creator. One day, it will be swallowed up in the victory of God. You might think there might be two ultimate power in the world. One is evil, one is good. One is Satan, one is God. But actually, the scripture teaches us clearly that God is the only ultimate power. Satan exists and disobeys God, but somehow God rules over everything, including Satan. It is hard to understand, but that's the truth in the Bible. In the book of Job, chapter 1, 12, and the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person." Satan is allowed to do what he does, but God also said to him, "This far and no further." So it is under the control of God. Then what does the kingdom of God mean? John Calvin gave the definition of kingdom of God in your outline. God is said to reign among men when they voluntarily devote and submit themselves to be governed by him, placing their flesh under the yoke and renouncing their desires, such as the corruption of the nature, that all our affections are so many soldiers of Satan who oppose the justice of God. By this prayer, we ask that he may remove all hindrance and may bring all men under his dominion and may lead them to meditate on the heavenly life. The kingdom of God is the very center of the ministry of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 4, 17, in the beginning of his public ministry, the very first word Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The kingdom of God is the center of his ministry. If you ever lived in the kingdom of darkness, Jesus is your hope. He will deliver you from your sin. So you lived in the kingdom of darkness, which will be destroyed by God. Second, the kingdom of grace has already come. You are to live for your King, Jesus Christ. 第二点,神恩典的国已经降临,你要为你的王耶稣基督而活. In Westminster Short Catechism, question 102, what do you pray for in the second petition? The answer, in the second petition, which is "Thy kingdom come," we pray that Satan's kingdom may be destroyed and that the kingdom of grace may be advanced, ourselves and others brought into it and kept in it, and that the kingdom of glory may be hastened. The Puritans made a distinction between the kingdom of grace and the kingdom of glory. These are not two different kingdoms, but one kingdom in one installment. Thomas Watson said, "The kingdom of grace is nothing but the beginning of the kingdom of glory. The kingdom of grace is glory in the seed, and the kingdom of glory is grace in the flower." The kingdom of grace was founded by the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It has already arrived. God's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. God already rules over all things. In the book of Daniel, chapter 4, 34 to 35, "For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" The coming of the kingdom has often been compared to the way the Allies defeated Germany in 1944. For all intents and purposes, World War II was over on the D-Day, when British and American troops established a beachhead in France. There were still battles to be fought, of course, and lives to be won and lost. But from that point on, the Germans were fighting a losing battle. All that remained was for the Allies to liberate Europe. As far as the kingdom of God is concerned, D-Day was Good Friday. That was Satan's last mad attempt to defeat God's king and have him betrayed, tried, and nailed to the cross. But Satan was only able to wound him. By dying on the cross for your sins, Jesus defeated sin, death, and the devil. Now, the outcome of the battle between the two kingdoms is certain. All that remains is for God to liberate the captives of the kingdom of darkness and to bring them into the kingdom of his Son. So the kingdom of grace has already come. If you never recognized Jesus as your king, it is your time to do so. You don't know what will happen tomorrow. So it's time to repent and to be brought into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of grace has already come. Thirdly, how do you know that the kingdom of grace is set up in your heart? 第三点, 你如何知道神恩典的国已经建立在你的心中了呢? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When the kingdom of grace is set up, there is a light in your mind, an order in your affection, a boldness in your will, a tenderness in your conscience. You are a new man in Christ. Your heart is renewed day by day. When the kingdom of grace is set up in your heart, you desire God for himself. As a true saint, you desire God not only for what he has, but for what he is, for who he is. You desire not only for his rewards, but for his holiness. No hypocrite can desire God in this manner. He may desire God for his jewels, but not for his beauty. You desire Christ not only more than the world, but more than heaven. You long for seeing him face to face. A drop of water is not enough for a thirsty man, a thirsty traveler. A little knowledge of God will not satisfy you. You thirst for more of Christ and his spirit. You would have more knowledge, more sanctity, and more presence of Christ. When the kingdom of God is set up in your heart, you have true faith in Christ. True faith is at first small, like the mustard seed. It is full of doubts and fears. It is smoking flax. It smokes with desire, but does not flame with comfort. It is so small that you can hardly discern whether you have faith or not. True faith is long in working. It does not come in just a minute. It costs many searching of your heart, many prayers and tears. Your soul suffers many sore pangs of humiliation before the child of faith is born. When the kingdom of grace is set up in your heart, you keep close to the word preached. Faith comes by hearing. Though God could work grace immediately by his Spirit or by the ministry of angel from heaven, yet he chooses to work by the word preached. This is the Euromean by which he set up the kingdom of grace in your heart. He has appointed it for the means of working grace, and God will honor his own ordinance. So keep close to the word preached, because the power of God goes along with it. Firstly, be aware that the kingdom of glory has not yet come. A great earthly kingdom usually has a great military force to defend itself, to attack its enemy. But Jesus had a different plan for his kingdom. He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Jesus is a gentle king. His own people even rejected him. The Jews asked to put him to death on the cross. The kingdom of God would not come by power and might, but through suffering and death. People wanted Jesus to drive out the Romans, but God has a different plan for that. He wanted to conquer the real enemy of human, the sin, the death, and the devil, and to establish his rule in the hearts of his people. Philip reconciled, God's kingdom is a kingdom of the heart. It's not a territory. It's not a party politic. It is not a nation state with geographic borders. The kingdom of God is simply the rule of God. When you pray for God's kingdom to come, you are asking God to achieve his purpose of reigning as king in the hearts, minds, and the wills of his loyal subjects. God's kingdom has already come, but it is not yet here in all its glory. Christ has already come, but he has not yet come again. You are still waiting for God's kingdom to come in all its glory. It is an eschatological kingdom. In 1596, Andrew Melville made a famous speech where he reminded the king again that there are two kings and two kingdoms in Scotland, as well as King James. There is Christ Jesus, the King of the Church, whose subject James the Sixth is, and of whose kingdom he is not a king, nor a lord, nor a head, but a member. That's a glorious declaration with boldness. But sadly, you don't see many earthly leaders today who respect the real King, Jesus Christ. But you ought to believe that there is a day, the second return of Jesus, they will all bow down before him. So don't fear any earthly king. Their kingdom is temporal. Use your time and your strength to build the kingdom of God. God's kingdom is advancing in this world today, even though you couldn't see it very clearly. It's like when a new building is being built, there is always scaffoldings surrounding it. Scaffolding is a temporary structure. It is for you to stand on it to build the new building. You couldn't see the new building very clearly when it is being built. One day, the Lord will come and shake the earth, and the old will come tumbling down. The scaffolding will be dismantled. All that will be left will be the new building. You may see the kingdom of God more fully in the future. So be aware that the kingdom of glory has not yet come. It is being built, it will come. So know how to use your time and your effort, not build this temporary kingdom, but to build the eternal kingdom, the kingdom of God. Lastly, pray and put all your effort, all your strength for obtaining the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. 最后第5点, 祷告, 在耶稣基督里, 竭尽全力, 拥抱神的国。 In Matthew chapter 6, 33, Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God." Why God sent you into this world? This world is a short and fallen world. This is not your eternal home. You are to prepare yourself for the kingdom of heaven. That's your main task. You are to seek the kingdom of God before all things and above all things. If you are a dedicated pilgrim who traveled to Jerusalem, you pass through several cities, you see many beautiful mountains and rivers. You even want to live there, but remember who you are and what you are doing. You will say, "I must not stay here. It's beautiful though, it is not Jerusalem." So when you enjoy your life on earth with peace and plenty, never forget or neglect the main thing you came into this world about. You are to seek the kingdom of God before and above all things. Puritan Thomas Watson said, "This kingdom of heaven deserves our utmost pains and diligence. It is glorious, beyond hyperbole. Suppose earthly kingdoms more magnificent than they are. Their foundations of gold, their walls of pearls, their windows of sapphires, they are not comparable to the kingdomly, to the heavenly kingdom. The kingdom of God deserves your best effort to pursue it." Julius Caesar coming toward Rome with his army and hearing the Senate and the people had fled from it, he said, "They that will not fight for this city, what city they fight for? What city will they fight for? Do you have a zeal to fight for the kingdom of God? If you will not take pains for the kingdom of heaven, what kingdom will you take pains for?" In the book of Judges 18, when the spies came back to their brethren and said, "We have seen the land, and indeed it is very good. Would you do nothing? Do not hesitate to go and enter to possess the land. When you go, you will come to a secure people and a large land, for God has given it into your hands, a place where there is no lack of anything." You have had a vivid picture of the glory of heaven. You find the kingdom is very good. Then why then do you still sit still? Go and fight for it. You need to fight against your sin, your laziness, your ungodliness. You have plenty to do today. So don't sit still. Fight for the glory of God. Put all your strength for obtaining the kingdom of God. Thomas Watson said, "You cannot do too much for the kingdom of heaven. You cannot pray too much, sanctify the Sabbath too much, nor love God too much. In secular things, a man may labor too hard. He may kill himself with work, but there is no fear of working too hard for heaven." So put all your strength for obtaining the kingdom of God, because you are the disciple of Jesus. Jesus devoted himself to the kingdom of God, and you are also to do the same thing. Your hope is in Revelation 11:15. "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven, saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That's your hope. That's the kingdom of God. So you have departed the kingdom of darkness, and you are to put all your strength for obtaining the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. Amen.